Joshua. This morning, the message that Brother Matt Bowler brought spoke volumes to my heart. And we had some guests here with us, first-time visitors this morning, who I spoke to afterwards. Enjoyed that message very much and were pleased to hear the truth preached, as it were, from God's Word. So Brother Matt and his wife, Christiana, are here in lieu of the pastor's absence. And Brother Matt, would you?
Man, well, it is great to be here once again tonight. Take your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. It's a great honor to be here tonight, and I just want to thank you for allowing me, or your pastor, for allowing me this opportunity to open God's Word and preach to you what something that God has laid on my heart. Thank you for the lovely room and the great fellowship that we had this morning. It was a great lunch, and it was just great to be in God's house this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 2, begin on reading at verse 1. The Bible says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." With the Lord's help, I'd like to preach to you a message that I've entitled, "Becoming a Soldier of Jesus Christ." Becoming a Soldier of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this great group of people who have gathered here tonight. Lord, I pray that you would help me as I preach your word. Help me, Lord, to say only the things that you want me to say. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to each of our hearts tonight. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, throughout the Word of God, we hear stories of men and women who fought some great battles. I think of Joshua and the Battle of Jericho, and how the walls of Jericho came crumbling down. I think of Gideon and his 300 men who defeated the armies of the Midianites. I also think of David and Goliath, perhaps one of the most common Bible stories of all time. All of these men did battle for God. And they all had a common theme, and that was these men saw the wickedness of their day, and God had gotten a hold of their hearts, and they had just decided that they were going to do battle for the Lord. All of these men saw the wickedness that was in their day. And Christian men and women here tonight, we too are in the midst of a battle. We are in a warfare. And of course, I'm not referring to a physical warfare. I'm not referring to a physical battle as many Muslim and other types of religious groups will like to proclaim. But I'm talking this evening about a spiritual battle. The Bible says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So tonight, we are not in a physical battle, but rather a spiritual battle. And there's no doubt in my mind that Satan is the mastermind behind all of the wickedness that is taking place in our world today. I believe that it is safe to say that the day and age in which we are living in is perhaps one of the most wicked generations of all time. We are living in a very wicked and satanic world. Men have turned their backs on God. Men are rejecting the truth of God's Word, and rather they are following the god of this world. And to be completely honest with you tonight, it's not going to get any better. The Bible says that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. And that's why it doesn't really surprise me to hear of school shootings and people killing each other and all types of violence that we're seeing in our world today. And Christian men and women here tonight, we are involved in a battle, and it's time that we get involved in this battle. In our portions of Scripture that we just read a moment ago, I want you to notice three simple truths. The first one is the endurance of a warrior. the endurance of a warrior. Look with me at verse 3. The Bible says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." One thing I know about fighting or being in the army or something like that is soldiers have great endurance. And if you are going to get serious about this fight, fighting for Jesus Christ, it is going to take some endurance. You see, once you decide that you are going to live a holy life before God and you are going to get involved in this battle, that old devil, Satan, is going to come along and he's going to try to ruin and hinder you from doing the work that God has called you to do. But it is going to take some endurance. In the late 1990s, there was a man by the name of Scott O'Grady. He was an American pilot in the war over Bosnia. After his plane crashed in enemy territory, he was left several weeks without food and water whatsoever. And then after several weeks of hiding in the bush, a rescue helicopter landed in a clearing, and he was able to, with every ounce of energy, make his way to that helicopter, and his life was saved. And later he had said that it had taken some great endurance, and he did not know where that strength had come from, but the truth of the matter is, it took some endurance. And Christians here tonight, during our journey on this earth, during our lifetime, we will be continually faced with ongoing battles. I don't know what some of the situations that you might be going through. I don't know what trials you might be facing, but I know that trials are inevitable. Perhaps you're battling with your finances. Many people are battling with their marriage or their unsaved family members or perhaps their unsaved co-workers. Perhaps you are battling with the pull of the world this evening. But Christian, it is going to take some endurance to survive in this battle. We must first of all, we must first of all be determined to be durable. We must be determined to be durable. Look with me at verse 1. Paul says to Timothy here, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." He says, "Timothy, I want you to be strong." We need to determine in our hearts to be durable. I believe that Timothy looked up to Paul. Timothy, no doubt, was excited about entering the ministry. And Paul here is trying to get Timothy to see the reality of the ministry. You know, the ministry is not always an easy thing. Being a Christian is not always an easy thing to do. And not everything often goes the way you think it should go. People may criticize you. People may talk about you behind your back. And you might get criticized or made fun of for being a Christian. But the truth of the matter is, many Christians experience this all the time. So I don't know what trials that you are facing this evening. And I don't know what burdens that you are going through. Someone has well said that you are either in a trial, you're coming out of a trial, or you're headed into a trial. And friend, if you have not determined in your heart to be durable, then you are not going to last in this fight. We must be determined to be durable. Paul said to Timothy, be strong. But I also see something in this passage. We must be dedicated to discipleship. We must be dedicated to discipleship. Look with me at verse 2. The Bible says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." I'm speaking to the Sunday night crowd tonight. This is nothing that is new to us. We know that we are to be dedicated to discipleship. If you want to be effective in your fight for Jesus Christ, you are going to have to be dedicated to discipleship. You see, the only difference that we can make in this country is by reproducing ourselves. We as Christians need to invest our lives into another person. We must do all that we can to see people saved. You see, that is what is going to make a difference in this country. It is going to be through old-fashioned Bible preaching and soul winning. We must do all that we can to see people saved. You see, there's nothing more powerful than when your pastor stands up here every week and preaches, "Thus saith the Lord." There is nothing more powerful than that. The only answer for this country is Jesus Christ. And we must be dedicated to discipleship. This is the main goal and the main purpose of every Christian. the only way that we're going to see revival in this country is if we will dedicate ourselves to discipleship, reproducing ourselves in someone else. So, first of all, we saw this morning or this evening the endurance of a warrior. The endurance of a warrior. But I want you to notice, secondly, the entanglements of the world. The entanglements of the world. Look with me, if you would, at verse 4. The Bible says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. You know, there's one thing I know about soldiers, and that soldiers are focused on the battle ahead. Soldiers are focused on the task that they are required to do. They are focused on what their job is. And they don't allow other things to distract them. It would be really foolish if we were to go to battle and allow the world to distract us. You cannot be involved in this warfare if you are entangled with the world. The Bible says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." James put it this way in James 4 and verse 4. The Bible says, "Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." Think about that verse. Let that verse sink into your hearts tonight. The friend of the world is the enemy of God. The friend of the world is the enemy of God. So many people become entangled with the world, and so many Christians become so attached to the things of this world, and they wonder where they went wrong. Turn, if you would, to Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13. When I think of an individual who had become entangled with the world, I think of Lot. Many of you know the story. Lot was a Christian. The Bible describes him as a preacher of righteousness. Lot and Abraham's herdsmen or workers were having some disagreements. And so Lot, of course, as you know, chose to live or to dwell among the plains of Sodom and Gomorrah. Genesis chapter 13, where you notice verse 10, "And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar." Verse number 12. "Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and Lot pitched his tent toward Sodom." Lot pitched his tent toward Sodom. To be completely honest with you tonight, this is exactly what Satan tries to get us as Christians to do. We would read in Genesis 19 how Lot literally lost everything. He lost his family. He lost the respect of his children. He lost his wife. He lost his whole livelihood. He lost it all. But Genesis 19 doesn't happen until we read in Genesis 13. The Bible says that Lot had pitched his tent toward Sodom. At first, when Lot decided to move where he was moving, he didn't live directly in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. The Bible says that he pitched his tent toward Sodom. In other words, he was looking at it every day. And this is exactly what Satan will try to do to you as a Christian. For the most part, we're not living, I mean, we're living in the world, but we as Christians, we're separate from the world. But Satan wants us to look. Satan wants us to look. When someone rebels against their parents and lives a rebellious life, that doesn't happen overnight. But Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. Lot made a choice to look at the things of the world. And that's exactly what Satan will try to do to us. All Satan wants you to do is look. Look at the world. Look at how everyone's having such a great time. Look at all the pleasures and the all the lights and the glamour that everyone is enjoying. And Lot's family literally ended in disaster all because of a look. All because of a look. He pitched his tent toward Sodom. Ladies and gentlemen here tonight, we cannot allow ourselves to be influenced by the world. We cannot become entangled with the world. We cannot have an effective fight for Jesus Christ if we are entangled with the world. Men here tonight, God has placed you over your families to lead and to guide your family. Christianity tonight needs a strong group of men and women who will be strong in this battle and fight against the flesh and the devil. We need people who will fight against Satan and the world. How does all of this come about? How does a person like Lot, a good man at the start, how does he just lose everything? Oh, like I said, it doesn't happen overnight. And it's the same thing with us as Christians. If we're not careful and if we will allow ourselves to be tempted by Satan. But this does not happen overnight. I want you to notice that this all comes about, first of all, by the seduction of Satan. How do people become entangled with the world? How do we become entangled with the things of the world? Well, first of all, it's by the seduction of Satan. Satan is very subtle and seductive. Mark chapter 13, verse 22 says, "For false Christs and false prophets shall arise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect." See, not only is Satan after the souls of the unsaved, but he is seeking Christians here tonight. That's why there are so many Christian casualties, because Satan is after us as Christians. You know, many people have the wrong idea about Satan, and they think that Satan is living in the world, and he does have a stronghold on those who are unsaved. But Satan tonight, I believe, isn't mainly targeting unsaved people. He's targeting Christians. He's targeting people who are in the battle. He's targeting people who are serious about serving Jesus Christ. Because Satan knows if he can stop you from being effective in your fight, then that's his battle right there. He doesn't care about the people who are unsaved. He already has their souls. But he wants you as a Christian to become ineffective in your fight. I grew up in a Christian home, and I had the privilege of going to a Christian school, my kindergarten all through grade 12. I went through 4 years of Bible college. You would think that, going to a Christian school, people just turn out right. But it's sad to say there are many people that I went to school with that are no longer in this battle. I went to Bible college with several young men who are excited about serving God, who are excited about getting involved in the ministry and becoming preachers. And today they're nowhere to be found in church. How does that come about? It is because Satan tricked them. Satan deceived them. Satan is very subtle and seductive, and we must do all that we can to avoid him and to fight against him. There's the seduction of Satan, but there's also the severing of sin. There's the severing of sin. Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2 says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear you." How many times in the Bible do we read of Israel sinning against God? How many times do we see that phrase, "Israel sinned against the Lord"? Israel sinned against the Lord. Time and time again, Israel kept sinning against the Lord and they had to repent and ask God for deliverance. The Bible says that our sin separates us from God, that he will not hear us. When are we as Christians going to realize that our sin separates us from God? I don't think we realize that oftentimes our God is a holy God. And God does not like sin. And we must do all that we can to become Christians who will often ask God for repentance for our sin. The churches today have changed what I like to call the proper preaching method into the positive preaching method. And that would be, they don't preach against hell, they don't preach against sin. Why are churches doing that? Well, Satan Satan has influenced them. And many people no longer believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. And Satan is doing all that he can to try to ruin our churches, ruin pastors, and ruin you as a Christian. Christians here tonight, I would say to you, it is time that we as Christians, as believers, fight back against the devil. It's time that we fight back against the devil. The endurance of a warrior, the entanglements of the world. But I want you to notice, thirdly, the enlistment in the warfare. The enlistment in the warfare. Back in our text in 2 Timothy chapter 4, or in 2 Timothy chapter 2, read with me verse number 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. The call goes out to Christians all around the world. A call goes out to Christians to enlist in this fight. The word fight means to contend with adversaries. If you haven't figured it out by now, Satan is our adversary. The Bible says that Satan is a roaring lion that walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Doesn't it bother you to see Christians that do not see the need to fight? It bothers me, and how typical this is of our generation. Preachers can't preach against sin. They can't preach against hell because they don't want to offend anybody. But I'm telling you tonight, as Christians, we need to take a stand. You can live for God. Don't allow Satan to try to ruin your life. We can fight back. We need to enlist in this warfare. September 11, 2001... I'm sure everyone, as soon as that date is mentioned, everyone knows exactly where they were. Everyone knows exactly what happened on that date. And oftentimes, I look back and think about, I was in high school, I was in school, and I remember our principal came and informed us of the tragic news. And I remember that day as if it was yesterday. But on that day, a call went out to Americans. And a call went out for us as Americans who were, we were faced with a call. We were faced with a call to stand for courage. We were faced with a call to defend our country. We were faced with a call to fight and to watch, especially since our country was under attack. We were faced with a call. And I haven't lived in the States very long, but I know this about it. When someone attacks this country fights back. And Americans were faced with a call. But more than something greater than fighting for your country, something greater than fighting for your nation and fighting for your freedoms, a call goes out to us as Christians tonight. A call goes out for us to take a stand and enlist in this fight for Jesus Christ. You see, attacks are being made against God. Satan is doing all that he can to destroy God's church. The Bible is being mocked at today. Christ and some people's vocabulary is no more than a swear word. And Christians today and the church are faithfully coming to church and doing absolutely nothing for the cause of Christ. But we as believers are called to live a more spiritual and watchful life. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 6 says, therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. How ridiculous would it be for a soldier to enlist in the army and not fight? How ridiculous would it be for him to not follow his commanding officer's instructions? How much more for us as Christians who have been called by God, who have been given an instruction by God not to fight? Ladies and gentlemen, we are not fighting for our country. We're not fighting for our political party. We're not fighting for our freedoms. We're fighting for Jesus Christ. We are fighting for a cause. Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27 and verse number 27. The Bible says, "Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. They stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. When they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews.' They spit on him. They took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put on his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. When they were come into a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him, and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet: 'They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots.' And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written: 'This is Jesus, King of the Jews.'" This account gives us a small description of the sufferings of Christ. If you are saved tonight, you have a cause for which to fight. You have a cause for which to fight. And Jesus Christ is that cause. Like I said a moment ago, I find it very discouraging that Christians do not see the need to fight. When we think about everything that Christ has done for us, when we think about how He left the glories of heaven and came and lived among the grossness of human sin, and how He walked on this earth, and how He was so mocked at. The Bible says that they spit on Him. They put a crown of thorns upon His head. They crucified Him. Jesus Christ died for you and for me. And I don't know about you, but that kind of inspires me. Jesus Christ is worth fighting for. Picture everything that Christ has done for you. Imagine Jesus Christ being mocked. Picture Him. Picture everything that He has done for you. And imagine all the pain and the suffering that He went through. Hebrews 12 verse 3 says, "For consider Him." We need to consider Jesus Christ. Consider what we are fighting for. We are fighting for Jesus Christ. What America needs and what this world needs is Jesus Christ. And may God get a hold of a young man's heart. May God get a hold of a young couple who will awaken this continent for Jesus Christ. Christians, it's time that we get involved in this fight. We're not fighting for our country, although that is important. But we're fighting for Jesus Christ. We are fighting for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Paul said to Timothy, "Fight the good fight of faith." We are to fight the good fight of faith. You know, there are some things that are worth fighting for, and that is Jesus Christ. Why enlist in this fight? Why even bother, you say? Why bother enlisting in this fight? Turn, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. If we will enlist in this fight, I can promise you, according to Ephesians chapter 6, we can withstand the wiles of the devil. We can withstand the wiles of the devil. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." I don't doubt for a moment that many Christians underestimate the power of Satan, but Satan is a real force. Satan is a real power. He is capable of doing some serious damage in your life. And he is constantly attacking us. The devil is really firing on all sides. He sneaks into the home through television, through worldly magazines, through music, through billboards, and other such things. But the Bible says if we will put on the whole armor of God, we can stand against the wiles of the devil. We can withstand the wiles of the devil. We are to put on the whole armor of God. You want to guarantee that your children will turn out right? Then put on the whole armor of God. If we will fight this good fight of faith, God will give us, God will enable us the ability to fight against the devil. We can withstand the wiles of the devil. But I also want you to notice that we can weaken wrong doctrine. We can weaken wrong doctrine. Turn, if you would, to Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. We can weaken wrong doctrine. Titus chapter 1 and verse 9. The Bible says, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayers. You see, the only thing that you need to defend our faith is the Word of God. It is our greatest weapon of warfare. I don't know about you, but I get really frustrated with Satan. It's time that we as Christians take a stand for Jesus Christ and fight back. We have everything that we need in the Word of God. God has given us a book where we can withstand the wiles of the devil and we can weaken wrong doctrine. The Bible says in Hebrews 10 verse 23, let us hold fast the professions of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Christians here tonight, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you might be burdened with. I don't know what Satan might be tempting you with, but don't give in to Satan. Become a soldier of Jesus Christ. Don't give in to the world. I can guarantee that it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Someone has well said, only one life will soon be passed, but only what's done for Christ will last. We as Christians, we need to endure hardness as a good soldier. We need to get involved into this battle. We mustn't become entangled with the world. A good soldier doesn't become entangled with the world. A good soldier doesn't become distracted, but he is focused. He is focused on the task at hand. Friend, if we will endure hardness as a good soldier, if we will not become entangled with the world, then we can be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We can have endurance. And friend, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. God has called each of us as Christians to enlist in this fight. Enlist in this battle. Get serious about serving Jesus Christ. Get serious about getting involved. Get serious about supporting your church and your pastor. There is a great work that needs to be done. And we need every available member. We need every Christian to help with the cause of Jesus Christ. God has called each of us as Christians to live a life that is well-pleasing to Him. And this should be the desire of every Christian. We should have the desire in our hearts to please the Lord. After all, God has chosen us to become a soldier. May God help us tonight to become men and women who will be soldiers of Jesus Christ. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time that you've given to us. Thank you for this congregation and the opportunity it is to preach your word. And Lord, I just pray that something that I might have said would be an encouragement and a help to this people. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You would stand, perhaps God is speaking to your heart as the instrument plays. If God is speaking to your heart, then I would encourage you to come and ask God to help you. There's a great battle that needs to be fought. We need Christians. We need people who will enlist in this fight. And if God is speaking to your heart, then I want to encourage you to come. Satan is doing all that he can to destroy the church of God. Satan is doing everything that he can to destroy your life. We need to become good soldiers of Jesus Christ. We need to get involved in this battle. God is speaking to your heart tonight. Why don't you come? If there's someone here that has not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, we want to show you how you can know for sure that you are on your way to heaven.
Message, Brother Matt, and thank you for serving in Pastor's stead here this evening. And souls saved this morning, and assurances of salvation. It's been a great day in God's house. Before we close the service, Brother Matt, if I could get you and your wife, Christiane, to go towards the back, and we're going to have the ushers back there at the, as you exit the auditorium to collect a love offering for Brother Matt and his wife Christiane, and God puts it on your heart to drop some money in the plate for them. That'd be wonderful. What a great day in the house of the Lord. Brother Bob, would you close us in prayer, please? Amen.